We're going to look first in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. And it says, "Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." Now the children were brought to Jesus. And I've read this many times, and one of the things that's always stuck in my mind, it doesn't say the parents brought them to Jesus. It just says that they were brought to Jesus. And maybe some of them, it was their parents that brought, but maybe not. And it's the same thing for us. Not every parent is interested in the spiritual well-being of their children. But as Christians, we are to be sensitive to the spiritual needs of our children and not just our own. Some parents don't know Jesus. They're raising their children in a home where Christ isn't discussed, that there's no mention of God or Christ or the Bible. Some parents don't care about the spiritual condition of their children. Some of them will drop them off at VBS or our Awana program just so they can have a babysitter, so they can have a free night. And you know what? That's fine with me. I'll take them every day of the week. I'll be your babysitter if I can instill in them a sense of Christ and who we are in Christ. Some parents don't understand the importance of teaching their children about Christ. They wait until they're old enough to make that decision for themselves. But I've always had a problem with that. When it comes to spiritual decisions, it's no different than us waiting to allow a kid to decide for themselves where they want to go to school or where they want to get a job. We teach them from a young age the things they need to know to grow up. So why would going to church, why would be a spiritual upbringing be any different? The children were brought to Christ, and that's what Christ wants us to do here in this church. He wants us to bring the children to Him. It doesn't matter if it's our own children, if it's our neighbor's children, or our friend's children. You see, Jesus wanted to bless them. And that's a common thing in the biblical times. People bring their children to a prophet or to a priest to have them bless their children. It's kind of like a child dedication service, if you would. As a prophet of God, they wanted Jesus to pray for their child, tell them how much God loved them, give them a special blessing. They wanted the children to know that they were loved by God and they were cared for. But there were hindrances to the children. You see, the disciples rebuked those who brought the children to Jesus. They thought Jesus was way too important to waste his time with those children. They thought they were a bother and were pestering Jesus. They probably thought they were more important. Jesus had better things to do. See, Jesus had work to do, so leave him alone. The disciples tried to keep the children from Jesus. They were a hindrance. And sometimes in our lives, we don't realize that we're hindrances to the little children. The hindrance of neglect. A lot of time in ministry, in many churches, the children get overlooked. We have a tendency to view the children differently. Maybe some of our teachers prepare their lessons differently if they were teaching adults or if they were teaching children. Some people treat Sunday school or Wednesday night, our Awana, our VBS, just as a time to occupy the children while the adults are about their business. But that's not the way it should be here. Our children's ministry are every bit as important as the adult ministry. Every child's Sunday school class is just as important as our adult classes. Our teachers should spend their time preparing for children just as they prepare to teach adults, because they are worthy of that time that it takes to prepare our lessons. They're worthy of that love that we shower out upon them. This church sometimes is a haven, is the oasis that the children get to come to where they're surrounded by love. Some households, there's distractions, there's pain, there's suffering. But here, it's a chance to come and be loved and be taught about Jesus Christ. And we should be prepared to receive those children in. Some people ignore the children because they don't contribute to the church. But I think that is so wrong. The children contribute so much to this church. You just saw this little skit. You heard them going out, and I saw it. It brought a smile to your face and some laughter. We've all been there. We all just kind of cringe in fear once in a while when our little children go up front to talk because we don't know what they're going to say. It's enjoyable to everybody else, but to the parents, they just cringe. I was there a long time ago. We have examples that we give to our children. Sometimes we don't realize that we're doing it. But children are like sponges. Even when you don't think they're listening, they're listening. They're watching. We can say our words to our children, but our actions speak volumes. They notice when we don't bring them to VBS or Sunday school. They notice when, as parents, we only come to Sunday morning service and we skip everything else. Maybe they'll ask, well, why can't I go to VBS? And, you know, if you give them an excuse like, well, I'm too busy to take you, they notice that. They see where your priorities are. And what about when you're home, they only hear negative things about church or about other Christians? They absorb that also. And they think about that. They look at us and they see how important Jesus is in our lives by the things we do. They notice when we get up Sunday morning and say, well, we're just too tired to go to church today. We'll just skip that so we can sleep in. That all registers. And they keep that with them. You see, the world is full of hindrances for our children. There's drugs. There's sex, TV, movies, video games, peer pressure. All these things are in that world out there. So we need to be different. We need to be a positive encouragement to our children and not a hindrance to them. And how do we supply that positive outlook, that positive influence on our children? Well, we have to get them in. We have to have VBS. It's worth the effort and the time. We have to have our Awana program and our Sunday school. We have to take the time to teach our children because they're our future. We can't leave it to the world to teach our children because they're going to take them down the wrong path. See, Jesus teaches discipline, or his disciples, humility and grace. The disciples must have thought they were pretty important, more important than a group of children. They thought Jesus was more interested in them. After all, they're the ones that did everything. Look at us today. Maybe we're the ones, the adults, that do all the tithing. We do the teaching. We maintain the church. We drive the vans. They thought they were important to Jesus, just as many of us think that way today. In Matthew 18, starting in verse 1, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The book of Mark gives us a little more background on what had gone on. In Mark 9:33, he says, "And then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked him, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves at the road?' But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down with the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Yeah, they thought they were pretty important. More important than the children. After all, they were adults. They could do so much more than the children in a church. But Jesus had a great lesson to teach him. The great lesson that he teaches us all, and that's the lesson of grace. Jesus' love for us isn't based on what we do or what we know. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on the activity that we do. It's based upon his grace. The disciples were trying to outdo each other to see who would get the best spot in heaven, to be the greatest, who would be promoted to the highest positions. They were trying to earn favor with God. Now, be honest, don't sometimes we feel that we deserve God's blessing? After all, look at all we do for God. Look at me, God. Look how great I am for working at block party or for being a teacher at VBS or in Sunday school. But that's not it. It's not our activities. It's the grace of God. Jesus called and said, called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. Matthew 18:2. Now, what had this child done to be singled out like this, to be brought and sat on the lap of Jesus Christ himself? What could he have done to deserve this? Maybe he sacrificed his time, or maybe this child sacrificed money in an offering plate. Now, this child didn't do anything. Jesus showed a living picture of grace, unmerited favor. Jesus showed them love for a little child who had done nothing to earn it. He was just a child. And God poured his grace and love out. Back in Matthew 18:3, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said, "If you don't receive the children, you don't receive me." And I think that's a call upon this church. We can sit here in our pride and all puffed up and look at the great things that we do for this church and for our community. But Jesus put it in context. It's the children. If you don't take in the children, if you don't receive them, you don't receive me. Jesus rebuked the disciples because they rebuked the parents. You know, depending on where you read it, they say up to 83% of those that come to know the Lord do it before age 18. That's a huge, huge number. So how do we reach these kids? Why were these kids such a priority with Jesus? These kids ought to be our priority. They're an investment, an eternal investment. We invest in a lot of things in our lives. We invest in houses. Houses will get eaten by termites. They'll get blown away in a hurricane. We invest in cars. Well, cars break down. They rust. They get wrecked. Eventually, they get crushed into a machine and melted down to make more cars. We invest in clothes that shrink or get worn out or dirty, and we throw them away. But you see, I won't be able to take my house to heaven with me. I already have a home there. I won't be able to take my car to heaven because I don't need it there. And I won't need any clothes in heavens because I'm going to be clothed in the righteousness of God. It's the things I spend my time and my money here on earth won't mean anything in heaven. But if we invest in our children, that's something that counts for eternity. Where will this church be in 20 years? We all grow old. We all get tired. I know I can't do the things that I used to do. And I'm a young 59. But I've slowed down a step. So what if we don't invest in our children? They grow. And they get drawn out into that world out there. Who's going to go on to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who's going to go on to reach out to meet the needs of the upcoming children? To be the leaders and the teachers. Children are a heritage. They are an eternal commitment, eternal investment. Children are an example. Jesus said, bring them to me. And he said, if you don't become as this little child. Now, I've thought about that. We can't get small again. I'm way too far gone to get small again. So what was Jesus talking about? It wasn't humility. Because children are full of pride and selfishness. It's part of growing up. It's not innocence. Let's face it, children can be pretty devious when they want to get the last cookie in the cookie jar or get out of trouble. And it's not obedience. We know little children aren't the most obedient creatures known to man. Parents laugh, but it's true. So what is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about trust. Children are very trusting. And what about you in your life? Do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you trust Him enough to give Him control of your life? Do you believe in Him? Well, Jesus said, bring the little children in. Do you think we can make a difference in these children's life? I do. As long as we're doing it according to the Word. As long as we've got people in this church that have put out the effort that has gone on these last few months. As long as we have teachers for Awana and Sunday school, we can make a difference in children's lives. But we have to trust in Jesus Christ. We have to trust that the seeds that are planted will be maybe not harvested by us, maybe others. But the need is still there. I praise God for the children that we have in this church. I laugh when they talk during service. I don't care. I don't care when they get up and run to another chair. Their parents may correct them or may cringe in fear, like I said, but it brings joy to my heart to know we have kids that feel safe in this church. They feel like they have people here that love them. I look at the Anka First children. I don't think they know a stranger in this sanctuary. They run up and they'll hug you. And they'll laugh with you. And they'll show you what they have and what they've been doing. At the block party, they were a joy. Let's all stand up. We're going to have a word of prayer. But I want to ask you, are you ready to commit to the children in your life? To be examples for our children of what it is to serve Jesus Christ. Give an example of prayer, how to pray, to support our teachers, to support our programs. Jesus set the example, and I believe He wants us to follow. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the lessons that you teach us from the Bible. Father, I thank you especially for the lessons of Jesus Christ. Father, he said to bring the children to him, and I just pray this body of believers, this church, that we're open to that command. That we'll invest our time and our energy into raising these children up, Father, in a manner that's pleasing to you, that brings joy to your heart as you see these young ones grow. But Father, we are all children to you. We will never be perfect. But Father, I just pray that you will always guide us, that you will lead us down the path that you set before us. Father, I pray for everyone here that you'll pour your blessings out on them, that you'll give us wisdom as we go through our lives. Father, you would give us wisdom as we teach and we lead in VBS this time, this month, Father, and Awana. Our hearts are open to you. Father, it's a joy to be here, to be with these believers, just to worship you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that I come and I pray. Amen. We'll have a time of prayer. The altar is open. If you don't know what to pray about, you can pray about VBS. You can pray for Awana. We have a pulpit search committee that covets your prayers. And I believe that prayer works. God hears our prayers. But he waits to hear from us.